First, I want to take the opportunity to say thank you, everybody. I want to first thank the church because y'all have done a lot for me. Y'all support me. Y'all pray for me, and I just want to thank y'all. I know that I couldn't do anything without y'all. I admire this church. I love this church. And every one of y'all, thank you. I really appreciate everything y'all do. I want to thank also everybody for coming to the meetings this week. I know it's a rough time. I mean, a little hard. You know, you got to work, and then you got to take time to come to the meetings. And appreciate to have people to speak to. You know, I mean, sometimes we're coming from small churches, and it's nice to have somebody that listens, or at least acts like they're listening. So I thank y'all for coming, and thank you for everybody that's been preparing for the food for us every week, every day of the week. We thank y'all for, I'm sure I speak for all of the missionaries, thank you for taking time and feeding us. We really enjoy it, and we know how hard it is, and we thank y'all for it. I want to thank my wife. I want to thank the Lord for her, because I really think that he's changed me a whole lot in these last 2 years I've been married. I mean, just like all of a sudden he made me see things and grow and see how needful it is to grow for my wife's sake. And I really thank the Lord for her. She's was really necessary for my life, and I thank God for providing her and for that. I also thank my co-workers, John and Karen. It's great having good co-workers to work with, because really if you don't get along and you can't work together, then not a lot will get done, and I thank God for my co-workers. Okay, well, I'm going to read in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Starting in verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, the situation hasn't changed. There are still a lot of people that are scattered and don't know the Lord. And they're sheep without a shepherd. They're fainted. They don't know God. The situation hasn't changed. It was like this in Jesus' time, and now it's the same way. We can't think that now the people are just a whole lot more godly, and that people just know so much more about God. There are a lot of people who don't know about God. There is a lot of multitudes that don't have Christ. And so the situation hasn't changed. There's still this big field that needs some things. They're fainted, they're scattered, they're lost. It hasn't changed. The situation is the same. But you know, I think we have an exciting thing that we're a part of, an exciting work. Isn't this an exciting work? I really am glad for this church, because this church is excited about preaching the gospel, is excited about the message, this work, this mission. It's excited about doing something and having a part. And I admire this church, and I don't understand any church who doesn't have an excitement or a desire to be a part of the gospel. I don't understand that kind of a church. And you know, there are those kind of churches.
that they're interested in getting people, they're interested in getting money, but they're not really interested in preaching the gospel, in getting it out. I've run into these churches in Puebla. There's people that say, I've been going to a church, a Christian church, for 3 years, but they don't know how to be saved. Because churches are focused on getting people and getting money, but they've lost an interest in getting the gospel out. And I'm excited that I'm in a church and part of a church that wants to get the gospel out. I'm excited about that. I want to tell you, there are two reasons I think that for me, it's exciting to be a part of this work. First of all, it's exciting to be a part of this work because it's a great message. It's the good news. Isn't that exciting? There's a bunch of bad news going on in this world right now, and it's exciting to have something good to say. To be able to know people are dying and they're in sin and they're against God and they're His enemies, and we have the great message of reconciliation to say Jesus Christ died for your sins and He can save you. He can forgive you. He can call you and give you everything you desire, but you just have to repent of your sins and you'll be saved. This is exciting because it's a good message. It's exciting to be a part of this work because inside us we have something we can't contain. We can't just sit around and watch people die and not want and desire to tell them the good message. This is a great good news that we have, and it makes it so exciting to be able to give them the gospel. This work is exciting because it's a great message. It's a good news that we have. We can't contain ourselves. But the other reason this gets me excited about giving the gospel is because we have great examples. You know, whenever you admire somebody, a certain man, and he does stuff, you want to do those same things that he does. And you know, this is what makes me excited about the gospel, because it says Jesus went to the villages preaching the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel. Doesn't this get you excited? He preached like you do. I tell you, I wish I could heal. I wish I had the power to heal every sickness like Jesus did. It says He healed every sickness. Anything that they had, He could heal. I wish I had that power. I wish I had that gift, that ability. And I don't understand the people who say they have the gift of healing and don't heal every sickness. You know, I think it's probably because they don't have the real power Christ had. In fact, I know they don't have the power Christ had to heal every sickness. I know that. But you know what gets me excited is I can preach the gospel. I can't heal everybody, but I know I can do something Christ did. It's preach the gospel. I have the power of God in me by preaching the word. Preaching Christ crucified and His cross. I have the power of God by preaching the gospel. And it's something Christ did, and it gets me excited. I can preach like Christ preached. I can't heal the sick, but I can preach. And that's what I want to do. It gets me excited. And you know, I really don't understand any man who doesn't have a desire to preach the gospel. Preach it anywhere you want. Preach it here in church with us. I mean, it's exciting. Christ did it. He preached the gospel. And to think you can follow this great example of Christ, you can do what He did. You probably don't have the power to heal like He did, to revive people like He did, but you have the power to preach. Preaching is the power of God to us that are saved. You know, the churches in Mexico amaze me because they all want to preach. We were at a men's meeting a week ago or so, and in a few churches, there are close to 30 preachers in that one church. 30 street preachers that preach in that church. This is amazing. It's because they know they want to preach. It gets them excited because preaching the gospel is the power of God. There are churches in Mexico where almost every single man in the church preaches on one day or another. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's hard to get almost every man to preach. But I mean, it's understandable. I understand their vision, their desire to preach because Christ preached. It says He preached. He didn't just heal, He preached. And you can do that just like He did. He preached the gospel. And so those are just, for me personally, if I get a little down, I can look at this and I can get excited about giving the gospel because the gospel is great news and because Christ did it. And I want to do what Christ did. I can get excited about preaching the gospel. But I want to tell you, I think we fall short on some needful things in our evangelizing. I think there are some things that we are lacking in our work, in our mission. And I want to point out these things. So it says in 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." I believe we lack compassion. Don't we lack true love for these people's souls? I mean, it hits me because I try and I want to, and yet so many times I fall short on actually loving these people and having compassion on them. Christ saw them and He had compassion on them. They're not our enemy. These people, they're not our enemy. We should be fighting for them, loving them, having compassion on their souls. But sometimes we act like they are our enemy. You know, I got into a talk with a man a while back, and you know how stubborn some people can be, and you're just telling them, and they can be stubborn, and you just get mad because they're just so stubborn, no matter how much you show them. And it's in the Bible. It's clear. They know it. They just don't want to repent. And they don't want to stop hindering the gospel. And sometimes I go away thinking, boy, one day you're going to realize you're wrong. And I can get caught up in that feeling. But that's really not the attitude I should have. I should be loving, caring, have compassion on him. He doesn't know he's ignorant. You are too. You probably made a few mistakes too before. You probably were against the preaching before you got saved too. You probably caused a lot of trouble for a lot of preachers too. You need to have compassion on them. Doesn't Paul have a great example of this? Look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. He says, "I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." That I could wish that myself were accursed. This is the compassion that we should take a great example of and use it and do it, apply it. We should have compassion. Love them. Desire them to be saved. I mean, we need to be moved by compassion when we see these people that are in need, that are scattered. They don't know where they're headed. They are in sin. And we need to be moved with compassion and love them like Paul's example was. We need to love them. You know, the gospel really is different when there's compassion. When you present the gospel with compassion, There's a difference. When you preach with love and compassion on those who you're preaching to, it shows. There's a difference. And they know it. They can see when you just go knocking on doors and you're doing it just because you have to. But when you do it because you love them and you want them to be saved and you want them to understand and you're doing it out of compassion, they can tell. They can see it in your eyes. It's a difference. And I think we lack it. We need it. All of us. You know, there is a time to be, to say, you know, we can't permit you to be in our church because you're just teaching wrong doctrine. And we have to do it sometimes. You can't come here. But that doesn't mean we have to despise this man. We can still have compassion on him and keep praying for him and loving him and trying to teach him, even though he's a bug and a, you know, pain. We can still love him and have compassion on him. Christ was having to heal all these people, and he had compassion on them. You know, another thing that moves me is what moves him with compassion wasn't that they were all sick. Because sometimes we got the wrong reason for compassion. We were not focused on the right thing. Christ is healing every sickness. All these people were sick and they came to be healed of their sickness. But Christ didn't look out on the multitude and see they're all sick, they're all, you know, hurting, and that's what he wanted to save them, and that's what caused them compassion. No, it says they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. It's because he saw their souls were not saved. They weren't in the right place spiritually, and that's what moved him with compassion. We need to be moved with compassion on people, not just because they're sick and hurt physically, but because their soul is in danger. You know, this is a greater cause for compassion than anything else. And they can tell when you truly have compassion. And I wonder, how can I spark this compassion, you know, this trigger? Because I want to spark this trigger of compassion in me. And that's hard to do while you're dealing with the stubborn man. I mean, if you want to get a spark of compassion, don't start dealing with a stubborn man, because it's going to be hard to spark that. What Christ did was he saw the multitudes. I believe there's something about a multitude of people that are all lost that can move us with compassion. If you're having a problem with really, truly having compassion and seeing the need that these people have and feeling for them, just go somewhere where there's a bunch of lost people and just watch them. Just look how they act. And just think about how they're lost. Think about how they don't know. How they don't know how to live. They don't know how to raise their kid. They don't know how to do so many things. And most importantly, they're not saved. When you see a bunch of people like this, that'll move you with compassion. It's hard to be moved with compassion while you're dealing with a stubborn man. But if you go out and see a multitude of people, that might move you with compassion. You might start feeling a little more. This happened to me when I was in Mexico City one time. I mean, Mexico City is just full of people. And I mean, there were people. I was on the bus, and on the bus next to me, they were standing in that bus. There was no more room in that bus. Everybody was crammed in there. And I just looked at them and I wondered, how many of them do I think are saved? Because by the poll counts and all that, not many are saved. And that just should move us with compassion. Thinking about how many people there are and how so few truly know God. We have a lack of compassion, a need for compassion. And it's missing, I believe, in our work, in our mission. Okay, another lack that we have, it says there's a need for workers. There's a need for workers. And I'm going to talk about this, and I don't want to in any way minimize the need for God. I'm going to talk about that next. But I believe sometimes we can underemphasize the need for work. Christ looks at these people and he says the field is great. There's so many people. There's so much need for the gospel. And what does he say? He says the laborers are few. There are so little people working. There's a need for workers. A need for people to actually work. I mean, there's a need. Have you seen how big this world is? I think we're close to the next billion. I think that's what I heard, or we already are. 7 billion people in the world. They're growing. And you know what? There's a need for laborers, for workers. There's a need here in San Antonio. There's a need. Hey, anybody wants to go down to Puebla and join us? We'll accept you because we need workers. I'm sure in Poland they need workers. In India they need workers. In China they need workers. Everywhere in the world there's workers needed. It's a need. And Christ pointed it out. It's a need. We need workers. But not just workers in number, because I believe we need more number of people working, but I believe we need also workers, as in workers. Workers that do stuff. There are jobs, there are places where you go into a restaurant or something, and they got a bunch of workers, but no work's getting done. And that's the Christian church. There's a bunch of workers, but no work getting done.
Right.
I think sometimes we purposely try to take the focus off of labor or work. I don't know if that has happened to you. I think it does happen to me sometimes. I go to saying, you know, well, Christ hasn't blessed. God isn't touching people. And sometimes I think I'm just trying to get some people, stop looking at me, let's look to God, because you don't want to look at me. But I think it's because there's a lack of work. Stop focusing on me, because I'm really not working enough. I'm really not putting true effort into it. There's a lack of true work. Workers that strive to be the best they can. For God, for His use. There's a lack, there's a need for workers. Isn't Paul an example of this? How he worked day and night, and he worked to not be charged by anybody, so that nobody would be burdened by him. He worked for himself and he worked for everybody else. He labored among them. He worked. He was an example. And there's so few that are actually working like they should be. There's a need for workers. Don't confuse that song, Little Is Much When God Is In It. Don't confuse it thinking that it's saying, give as little as you can and it'll turn out to be a lot. That's not what it's saying. He's not saying, do as least possible work and God will do a whole bunch with that. He's saying do everything you can, and no matter how little it is, that God will use. Amen. But you have to do all you can. Christ, remember, he wants to feed the 5,000, and he says, how many loaves do you got? How much do you have to offer? They came up to him and said, we've got so many loaves. He used what they had and he fed everything. He fed everybody and they were all full. Well, God can use few, but he wants you to give him everything you've got. Amen. It's not enough to just say, I'll give him a little, because I know that little is much when God is in it. He wants you to give everything you got. Strive to be a good worker, a hard worker, so that he can use that little bit you got, and he can make a lot out of it. There's a need for workers. There's a need for preachers. There's a need for... There's so many types of work to do. We're not all the same, but there's so many different types of work. There is so much need. Christ points it out. It's huge. The harvest is huge. I mean, what an opportunity. Do you ever hear anybody, farmers complaining that their fields have too much to give them? I mean, I don't think so. I'm not a farmer, but I don't think they're complaining, oh, we just have fields, they're so big, they're giving us so much. I don't think so. I think if their field is big and just giving them everywhere they're looking, I think they're excited. Look how much there is. Let's go. We got to hire some more people. Let's go. Well, that's what Christ is saying. The field is big. It's so ready. There's so much. What a wasted opportunity. Because there's lack of workers. You got everywhere you go, you can find somebody that needs the gospel. Anywhere you are, there's somebody that needs the gospel. But there's no workers to pick it, to pick that fruit, to do it, to labor. We say, well, God giveth the increase. And I know God gives the increase, and I believe that completely. But Paul does say, one water, one plant... planted and another one watered. Without somebody planting and somebody watering, God won't give the increase. Not that He can't, because God can do everything without any one of us. But He won't. He wants workers. He wants laborers. He wants people doing it so that He can bless. He can do it without you, but He's not going to. Because His purpose is that workers will do it. That you will do it. And if you put your work into it, God will give the increase. But there's a need for workers. There's a lack of compassion. There's a lack of workers. Not just in number, but in work. As far as what they do, how they work. Strive to be the best worker. Like Paul did. He said, I run so that I would win. And that's how everybody should run. Everybody should run looking at that end and run with all their might. Well, that's how we should work. We should work. Each one of us give as much as we can. Preaching, praying, doing everything. We should do what we can. And no less. There needs workers. There's a great opportunity. I can't emphasize this too much. There's a great opportunity. All we need are workers. That's what Christ is saying here. Then there's another one. There's another lack. There's another need. He says, laborers are few. Pray ye therefore. I believe this last need, this last lack, is a lack of prayer. A need for prayer. Because like I said, I don't want to minimize the need for God. I don't want to minimize the need for workers either, but there is the need for God. And that's in prayer. They go hand in hand. You need workers, you need laborers, and you need God. Amen. If you have workers and you don't have God, you're not going to get anything done. That's why I think prayer is probably the most important thing in our ministry. Prayer! Because despite any of us, the biggest thing we need is God in us. If not, we won't get anything done. The biggest need is prayer. There's always room for more prayer. You know, it's amazing. There's always room for more prayer. You can do more prayer, can't you? Well, I can do more prayer, can't I? I remember Brother Brian when he was teaching us, he said, you can pray any way you are. If you're in the bathroom, you can pray. You're driving, you can pray. You're whatever you're doing, you can pray. There's always room for more prayer. Prayer is needed. It's needed. Let's see, what are things we need to pray for? First of all, he says, pray to the Lord that He would send more workers. We see a lack, we see a need of workers. You know what we should be doing? Praying that God would send more workers. That God would call more men. That God would touch more people. Because it is God who touches and calls and produces in our church. We need Him to stir us up. We need to pray for more workers. We need to pray for clarity in our preaching, wisdom, boldness. I mean, isn't this what Paul would pray for? He would ask them to pray for him. He wanted boldness. He wanted to be clear. He wanted to be useful to God. And he would pray for it. We may have a bunch of workers, and we may be doing all we've got. But if we're not praying for what we have and that God would use us and give us clarity, then it ain't going to happen. Because we need God. We need to pray for clarity. We need to pray for God's movement. We need to pray that God would touch, that God would call. Because I can preach and I can witness and I can deal with and I can give tracts. And these people maybe see a little thing, but if God doesn't start touching the heart, then it ain't going to happen. They're not going to convert. They're not going to believe because we need God on our side. Isn't that amazing to you? It was whenever I heard it. These people, the wise kings in the Old Testament, they waited for God to be on their side to go into battle. If God wasn't on their side, they wouldn't go into battle. Now, the unwise did. The unwise went into battle even if God wasn't on their side and they got destroyed. Well, that's how it is with us. Why aren't we trying to get God on our side? Why aren't we praying for our messages? Why aren't we praying for our labor, for our work, for our pastors, for our everybody there is? We need to be praying one for another. We need prayer. And I know we do pray, but there's still room for more. I believe in my ministry, my personal ministry, I need more prayer. And it seems like we get so focused and caught up in these other things, like preaching and getting the best thing you can with this, but sometimes we just forget about prayer. And prayer is important. It's needed. Isn't this the example that Jesus gave too? I mean, he tells his disciples one time, why couldn't y'all do it? You needed prayer and fasting. What do you think? You're going to be able to get this done and y'all haven't spent the night praying and fasting? Christ was a great example of this. And I wonder if Christ really prayed so much. He was God in the flesh, manifest in the flesh. He prayed so much. Shouldn't I be praying more? If Christ prayed because He knew it was needful, shouldn't I need it more? Prayer is needful. And He said, I mean, y'all disciples, when are y'all gonna understand the need for prayer? Y'all need to be praying and fasting and they're sleeping. Praying and fasting and you're eating. That's what the disciples did all the time. But what we need is prayer. I believe we would get a
a lot more result. I believe personally in my ministry, and I'm just assuming that it's everywhere, is that I have a lack of these three things. And that's probably why I'm not seeing the results I really want to see. It's because I have a lack of compassion, a need for more love and desire for them to be saved, love towards them, compassion, knowing that I was in the same situation. I was bound for the same place, and Christ just had mercy on me, and He can have the same mercy on them. I need to have more compassion. I need to work more. Because how am I going to expect results and God to use me and do stuff with me if I don't work? We need workers. And we need prayer. Because do I really expect that what I'm doing and what I'm preaching is going to do all the work? No, I don't expect that. I know God touches. I know God moves. And so I know I need prayer. I lack compassion. I lack work. And I lack prayer. And I hope I can start fixing these things and do better in my ministry.
Stand, please. Number 77.